الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
Straighten your rows, ensure there's no gaps in between, and kind of keep your mobile phones on silent.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Inshallah, after the remaining adhkar and dua, we'll have our regular after asr reminder, inshallah. Again, we have our guest speaker, Maulana Ayaz from Plastow. He has come, inshallah, to deliver a reminder that will be beneficial for everyone. All brothers are requested to stay behind and participate. Jazakallah. If I can request all brothers to come as closer, minbar, jazakumullahu khairan.
Brothers are requested to come close, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahdah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Amma ba'du fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul hal yastawi alladhina ya'lamuna wal ladhina la ya'lamuna. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من الناس ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء حتى إذا لم يبقى عالم اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام الوحدة خير من جليس السوء والجليس الصالح خير من الوحدة وإملاء الخير خير من السكوت والسكوت خير من إملاء الشر صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected dear brothers and elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability and tawfiq to take out some time to learn His blessed deen and to attach ourselves to the lessons that we can learn from the Quran, the glorious Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kalamullah, as well as the blessed words of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the light of Hadith. Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, when expanding and speaking in regards to knowledge, he says a very beautiful couplet. And he diverts everyone's attention towards the ahmiyatul ilm, towards the importance of seeking knowledge and increasing one's knowledge all times. Remember, we do not stay stagnant in productivity and making ourselves a better version, increasing ourselves as a Muslim. It isn't from the habit of a believer that he remains stagnant. It comes in regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that it is said, لَهُ هِمَمٌ لَا مُنْتَهَى لِكِبَارِهَا وَهِمَّتُهُ الصُّغْرَى أَجَلُّ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wasn't a person who had less himma, and he was a person who never had, you know, a lot of confidence, and he had small aspirations. He aspired great. And his smallest aspiration, it was like something that you can compare to a lifespan of a standard normal person. A Muslim, a believer, always aims high. He always looks to attain the loftiest ranks. He always looks to attain the loftiest, you know, places that Allah Ta'ala can give him, most definitely in this world and in the hereafter. In this world, again, we look for where is our benefit. Yesterday, the brothers that were here, we outlined two key aspects. That number one, understanding where our harm is, comprehending it and abstaining from it. Number two, understanding where our benefit is, following through with that benefit, and thereafter reaping the fruits from it. So in the worldly aspect, we always understand, we ascertain where our benefit is, and we always follow it. When it comes to our children's ta'aleem and their education, we aspire for the best education for them. We aspire for the best schools for them. We aspire for the best colleges, the best universities that they get in, because this education is going to enhance them to such a level that in the worldly aspect of things, we're going to find that they're going to attain, you know, a good degree, mashallah, and they're going to become stable, which we all, you know, aspire for. And there's nothing negative in this. We want them to get a good education because we know as well now as parents, times are different. The ball game is completely different. Our elders will tell us that the times that they were here, there was a very, very great struggle, but things were somewhat acquirable. This is what some elders that I've spoken to myself, that this is the experience that they shared with me. Whereas now the newer generation, especially living in London and outskirts of greater London as we are in Essex, etc., it's a struggle. So we hope the best for our children, and where their benefit lies, we educate them and we wish that they get a good profession one day so that they don't have to become muhtaj and in need of anybody, and they are self-sufficient in a sense that Allah Ta'ala is sustaining them, Allah Ta'ala is providing for them, but we've tried our best to get them to a level where they are well-educated and they are earning enough to get by. The same way, that same principle I want to apply as well today. That where it comes to enhancing ourselves as a believer, we've always put into our mind, I was trying to construct this on the way here, and you know, as Sheikh Aziz, he told me from the 2 days I'm going to be here, I was thinking that, you know, our academia, when it comes to our deen, my dear brothers, in reality, is that we tend to understand that the children, we put them in madrasa from 5 to 7, from Monday to Friday in the afternoon, and now it's become a state where, as parents and as elders, we suffice that, you know, even if they don't do the Monday to Friday 10 hours, if they just do Saturday, Sunday 4 hours, that's sufficient for them, for their deeny knowledge and for their growth in the aspects of deen and religion. Whereas we don't hold those same aspirations for the worldly side of things. Reality is that we aim a lot more higher. When it comes to our school, our education, our academia in schools, if the children are underdeveloped or they're under-attaining, then we'll go about making supplementary classes for them. We'll put them into tuition classes so that we can make sure that they are attaining that level, and we'll make sure that they don't go about failing whatsoever. Because because we can't stand failure over there. We can't stand failure. But for instance, I've been in the teaching side of and I've been managing. I've been a head teacher for many years in a madrasa. And when it comes to the downfall of our children in madrasa, or when it comes to the deeni knowledge, shaitan and nafs tells us that it's not over here the shortcoming of the teacher it's when it comes to the school, it's not the shortcoming of the teachers and their teaching. That is what the shaitan and nafs will tell us. So we need to put them into supplementary classes, we need to give them tuition at home, and we need to give them something that will become it will shoulder their education in school. But when it comes to madrasa, the teachers aren't putting enough effort behind them, and the blame majority of the time goes on to them, and there's not a thought of giving the children supplementary classes. I'm sorry to just go at the beginning. Usually I wouldn't start off like this. I think I've gone into the mains before we even had the starters. But we were talking about, again, enhancing ourselves. These are just thoughts that we need to really crack in the month of Ramadan. I've been saying to every audience that I've been going to is that, I've come to that point now that we come to a gathering as a speaker and we just tell everybody what feels good. What feels good, a few things about hikmah, and a bit of, just being, giving a few things about wisdom, and then leaving the gathering and say, although I don't mind as many people as they are, if there are 10 or if there is one, but we take something back with us home, my dear brothers. I'm talking to here as I would talk to any other crowd, that we take something back with us this is something we really need to crack as a community. If our community as a whole doesn't come onto it, at least what I've heard today, I'll come onto it. So Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, going back to his couplet, he says, تَعَلَّمْ فَلَيْسَ الْمَرْءُ يُولَدُ عَالِمًا وَلَيْسَ أَخُوَ عِلْمٍ كَمَنْ هُوَ جَاهِلُ. He says that learn, increase your knowledge. تَعَلَّمْ فَلَيْسَ الْمَرْءُ يُولَدُ عَالِمًا. A person isn't born a scholar. They're not born a knowledgeable person. When it comes to the matters of the deen of Allah ta'ala, he's in reference to this, he's speaking. The scholars of the past, they used to encourage the academia that we're referring to as the deen of Islam, the ilm. Yeah. When I used to study, I done a year or so in university, and in reference to ilm of deen, this is called ilm. The others, they are known as sciences when it comes to the subjects that we study, maths, English. These are all funoon. But where in hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the Quran, ilm is being spoken about, one thing that's put down as a fact, that this is referring to the deen of Allah ta'ala and the sharia, the injunctions, the ahkam of our deen. فَلَيْسَ الْمَرْءُ يُولَدُ عَالِمًا. I'll come back to those couplets again. But my respected teacher, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dorat, hafidhullah, who is the Shaykh al-Hadith of the Islamic Dawah Academy in Leicester, he was once explaining to us, and he gave us an example of how ilm is interpreted as the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the light of hadith and du'as that we often read. I remember when I was speaking about university, once I remember I was delivering a talk there as well, and after a brother had come to me to ask for some references, which khair, I tried to get through to him, and then he said to me that, I think one place I may have erred in a reference. So I said, look brother, I'm still talibul ilm. Yeah, I'm still actually studying in a madrasa, and I was officially talking about a madrasa, like an Islamic madrasa, al-jami'atul islami as we call it. And he said to me, I'm also talibul ilm. I'm also a seeker of knowledge, and this is what I'm doing. I'm studying a sociology degree, or I'm studying a business degree in university, so I'm also talibul ilm. So he was, in turn, using those sciences, which is not in reference to the deen of Islam, the deen of Sharia, and he was basically trying to, in turn, tackle or trying to explain to me that, no, your references, I will know them as much as you know them, because I'm also a student in university, whereas you're studying a completely different topic. If you were in the faculty of Sharia, then I would understand. But hey, what I wanted to explain was in regards to ilm itself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his dua would be, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'a wa rizqa wasi'a wa shifa'a min kulli da. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask you for ilm nafi'a. Yeah? And this is what I want to again promote today. Ilm nafi'. Oh Allah Ta'ala, I ask you for that knowledge which is beneficial. Yeah. So, You know, one person, a normal understanding would be that knowledge which is beneficial, i.e., that knowledge which doesn't harm me, i.e., for example, one person might think that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is only referring to the ilm of deen, and in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a dua, he says, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. Oh Allah, I ask you to protect me, or I seek protection in you from that knowledge which brings no benefit. I ask you, number one, for knowledge that's beneficial. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowledge that brings no benefit. So in turn, someone might have in their mind that the knowledge which is beneficial, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sorting the knowledge of deen. And on the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, oh Allah, I don't want any other knowledge apart from the knowledge of deen. No, my dear brothers. I ask you, oh Allah, for that knowledge, ilm nafi', oh Allah, that knowledge which brings me onto amal, oh Allah. That brings me onto practice, oh Allah. And Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you, that knowledge which, from that knowledge which brings no benefit. This is in reference to that knowledge which is also related to the deen of Allah, but a person doesn't go about bringing it into practice. He doesn't go about bringing it into amal. This is what I want to explain right now. تَعَلَّمْ فَلَيْسَ الْمَرْءُ يُولَدُ عَالِمًا. Learn. Learn, and whatever you learn, my dear brothers, whatever knowledge that you seek, it will benefit you where it comes to the avenues of practice and implementing and going about, you know, opening more doors and avenues of being able to practice something. It's obvious. وَلَيْسَ أَخُوْ عِلْمٍ كَمَنْ هُوَ جَاهِلُ. And that person who is a knowledgeable person, he cannot be compared at all to a person who is ignorant. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala poses a question that, say, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the person who knows and who does not know, can they be the same? Can they be equivalent? Of course, they cannot be equivalent. They cannot be the same. Imam al-Shafi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَلَيْسَ أَخُوْ عِلْمٍ كَمَنْ هُوَ جَاهِلُ. And thereafter he says, وَإِنَّ كَبِيرَ الْقَوْمِ لَا عِلْمَ عِنْدَهُ صَغِيرٌ إِذَا الْتَفَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الْمَحَافِلُ. Allahu Akbar. Ah, it's ajib, beautiful. He says that the person who is the leader of the people, when knowledgeable people will come about in the gathering, he will become small. That leader will become small as well when he is surrounded by people of knowledge. Let me give you an example. Yeah, we have a family function going on, and alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala places in the hearts of people for a reason the respect and the honor of ulama and scholars. Mashallah, that's why we send our children to madrasa, because we trust them. We trust them that they're going to work with our children. They're going to bring the best out of them. They're going to make them a hafiz, inshallah. They're going to make them so on and so forth. So, and whenever we see a scholar of the deen, yeah, Allah Ta'ala automatically, with so much love, you know, we hug that alim, and so we should. You know, we see a mufti, we ask them the laws and injunctions of the deen, and certain times as well, we meet them and we give them love. You know, we say to them that, you know, Shaykh, or we say, Mawlana, make dua for me, make dua for my family, and so we should. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from amongst the sunnah, and what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged, what the sahaba used to do, is that when there used to be a child who was newborn, one sunnah in particular is that they used to take this child in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we have a child just from the start of life, my dear brothers, look how important ilm is. Look how important knowing something is, whereas this is something, a sunnah which is so least practiced. And so what the ulama, they say today, that how can we go about practicing on this? They say that wherever there is a Allah wala in your community, wherever there is a imam, or wherever there is a person of knowledge, when you have a grandson, grandchild, when you have a niece or nephew, you have a son or daughter who's born, go take them to that scholar, take them to that imam, and say to them to make dua of barakah for my child. That is also a sunnah. Yeah. Putting a date and doing tahniq, chewing it, giving it to a person of piety particularly, making him chew it, and thereafter that small amount of date without the skin, place it inside the upper palate of the child's mouth. This is known as tahniq. It is also a sunnah when a child is born. There is khair and barakah and blessings in it. That child will grow up to be a pious child. Yeah, doing the adhan when the child is born. Again, Ilm and knowledge is something that will navigate us from the cradle to the grave, my dear brothers. For this reason, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, such a great faqih, such a great muhaddith, somebody had seen him, that at old age he's carrying a pen and paper. And what happens? Someone says, Ila mata ya ibn Hanbal? Ila mata ya ibn Hanbal? Oh Imam ibn Hanbal, you are an old man now and you are walking with pen, you're walking with papers in your hand and an ink pot. How long is this going to go on for, oh Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal? You have written the Musnad. You have a compilation of a hadith. You are such a great mujtahid, oh Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. You've done enough now. He says, no. He says, min al mahdi ila al-lahdi. This journey of knowledge, it will be from the cradle to the grave. Because we are in need of it, my dear brothers, from the cradle to the grave. So Imam al-Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi says that the person who is great, coming back to the example, that we are sitting in a family due, and there is the grandfather there, he is the head of the house, but what happens? We get a doorbell, and we've given a da'wah to the local imam. Now he comes through the door. Everybody, what do? They stand up and they say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Mawlana, how are you? Mufti sahab, how are you? Imam sahab, how are you? Because, وَإِنَّ كَبِيرَ الْقَوْمِ لَا عِلْمَ عِنْدَهُ. The head of the house, he himself will understand that I am kabir al-qawm. I am the leader of my family at home. But now, you know, Sheikh Sab has come and he is a person of knowledge. Allah Ta'ala has fortified him with the deen of Allah. I am now little. And this person is the big person of my people. Yeah, he is my example. Yeah, knowledge is something, my dear brothers, that it opens up avenues for us. Yeah, تُعْرَفُ الْأَشْيَاءُ بِأَضْدَادِهَا. Many things can be understood by its opposites. Remember, coming and again springing off yesterday, understanding where our benefit is and following through it. Understand where our harm is and abstaining from it. تُعْرَفُ الْأَشْيَاءُ بِأَضْدَادِهَا. Things are recognized, it's a proverb in the Arabic language, that things are recognized by its opposites. My dear brothers, what is ilm? Ilm is knowledge. What is the opposite of ilm? Jahl. Ignorance. Ignorance, my dear brothers. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and I'm warning myself, I'm warning everybody over here, we are going towards a time, or we can say we are rightfully inside in a time that where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said with his blessed tongue, وَكَثُرَ الْجَهْلِ وَأَنْ يُكْثِرِ الْجَهْلِ أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ, that at close towards the end of time, ignorance will start to prevail. Ignorance will start to prevail, and that importance and the sort of relevance that we give ourselves towards the deen of Allah Ta'ala, it will start to decrease. It will start to decrease. Yeah, we have, you know, now, you know, again, coming back to the example, we may have gone through a madrasa system which may have been 10 hours, but now we feel a justice for our children that they just go on Saturday, Sunday because of us seeking comfort, being comfort driven. Yeah, just in our own box, in our own comfort, you know, a father will say that, you know, I go to work from 9 to 5 and then I come home at 4 o'clock, for instance, and thereafter I need to do the madrasa rounds from 5 to 7 p.m. Whereas when that same father, when he looks back 20 years ago, when he was in madrasa, his own father may have been doing 12-hour shifts, so he may have been doing more shifts, but the mother or some way they used to go about making effort to ensure that their children, as far as they live, they grab their hand, they grab their madrasa bag, and they make sure that they're in the door at 5 p.m. Yeah? Remember one thing. Deen will come in our life with mujahada, with persevering, with making effort. Yeah, it won't just come by us turning on our internet and then just signing up our child to a sheikh who's in another country. And just because we end up giving a bit of fees, you know, we think that sheikh or that sole person, he may be qualified, he may have the credentials, he may be academically very, very qualified. But where is the company that our child is getting? Where is the nurturing and the tarbiyah that our child is going to be receiving? Sometimes that person who is on the other side of the world, I've taught online. At times when we were during the time of COVID. At the time of COVID, we all had to go online. As teachers, in a madrasa, we had to go about making up that you know, not being connected to the children, we had to come online and we had to teach them. And remember how difficult it was. Yeah, some of the children, they are playing PlayStation while they're being taught. Yeah.
they've got their consoles on, they've got their headsets on, and they're looking at one screen here, and we're wondering that, what is this child doing? On the other hand, you know, one child that we're teaching, he's falling asleep. And what happens is that the parents, because they want their children to have that intimate time with the teacher, they're oblivious. And we're saying, you know, Muhammad, example, Muhammad, wake up. He's not waking up. Yeah? We have, you know, somebody, so many things that they're not necessary. We have access to, you know, we have a good mahol and environment right at our door. But, you know, because of our own comfort, we end up sacrificing and we end up doing ghair insaf, and we end up not giving justice to our children when it comes to the matter of deen. When it comes to educating them. Yeah, تُعْرَفُ الْأَشْيَاءُ بِيَضَّادِهَا. Coming on again, to understanding that the benefits of knowledge. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we understand, you know, that how did he go about doing his practical daily life, we'll understand it only if we have the right amount of knowledge and we have that part of knowledge that's going to make us at that point do practice. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Allah, I ask you for knowledge which brings benefit, that knowledge which takes me on to practice. So we end up learning one thing. Yeah, we end up knowing that a person, for instance, he's read قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. InshaAllah ta'ala, it comes in hadith, and also under the revelation of these two surahs, it's come that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was done magic upon by a person by the name of Asim Labid, who was a Jew, and you know, he had told his daughters to take the comb of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which was of ivory, the tusk of an elephant, and you know, it was made into a comb. Khair, there were some hairs of it on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the comb. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to Asim Labid taking this comb and then after burying it in a well, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was affected by this magic. So khair, we understand that sihr can happen. It can happen. Sometimes someone will say to you, Assalamu alaikum, brother. You know, somebody very shady, they'll come up to you and they say, no, brother, you need to do, you have to do ruqya on yourself. So you're wondering, you know, I feel I'm fine. You know, why do I need to do ruqya? No, come to my clinic. I'll do some ruqya on you. I'll do some cupping on you. And then they look inside your eye and they say, brother, you've got a jinn inside you. Subhanallah, I've got a jinn inside me. I didn't even know about this jinn myself. Again, remember, why would these people prey on certain individuals like this? And then after that, they come to the cupping center and then they say, you know, we took a sample of your blood and there's like a dog barking inside it. The blood's formed the shape of... I've heard these incidents. Yeah, there was... Somebody said that, you know, we done cupping of a brother and the jinn came out with it. The blood had the face of a dog and the dog was barking inside the blood cup. So, khair, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. La nusaddiq wa la nukadhib. We don't say it's true, we don't say it's false. Because at first hand, I hadn't seen that cup of blood. But again, when we... someone might come to your house and if you know, easily want to pray. A lot of times through our doors, there's random people who put these cards through and they say, we can sort your marriage life out, we can take away your problems, we can solve your debts. If you've got court trials, we can solve these, make it easy for you. So people end up going to these amils. They end up going to these people who rip people off for hundreds and hundreds of pounds. Hundreds of pounds. You've got a jinn inside your house. Okay, what shall I do for that? Okay, what we need to do, this is example I'm giving. We need to take a black color goat, particularly they'll give the color as well. And they say, we're going to cut its head. And after we're going to slice open the head of the goat, we're going to take some ta'weez, tama'im, yeah, ta'weez. We don't know what they're going to write on it. Allah Ta'ala knows best. We need to put that ta'weez on inside the head of the goat. We're going to close the head of the goat, stitch it closed, and then we're going to bury it inside a random graveyard. Subhanallah. Now, the person who feels that they've got a ghost inside their house, they've got a jinn inside their house, they're going to completely buy it. Straight away, they're going to buy it. They're going to buy the story and they're going to say, you know what, maybe, you know, I've realized sometimes, you know, there's been a bit of sound coming from my door, the door's been shaking, whereas they just forgot to close the window that day. There was just a bit of draft coming through. Example. Now, what does the Sharia tell us in the light when we have the right knowledge, my dear brothers? And these are just certain examples I'm going to fire at yourselves, that we can end up becoming people who fortify ourselves and we magnify ourselves. We end up pushing ourselves to a level where we have adequate knowledge that we ourselves can, you know, navigate ourselves through life. We can end up, you know, really opening the doors of amal on ourselves. That the more I know, the more I'll be able to practice. So this one example we're going to tackle firsthand. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in hadith, اقرأوا سورة البقرة فإن الشيطان ينفر من البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة. In the light of hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that if you feel that, you know, you might have something creeping around your house at 2 a.m. in the morning, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that recite Surah Al-Baqarah is adequate enough that we even take a loudspeaker or we take any type of speaker and we play Surah Baqarah on our phone as well with our favorite Qari, not a problem. Or we ourselves, if we have the time and we have the ability, we recite the whole of Surah Baqarah, the first half of the third juz. Surah Al-Baqarah, we read it ourselves. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that house wherein Surah Baqarah is recited, my dear brothers, Shaitan runs away from that house. Shaitan runs away from that house. And shall I give you one example? One brother had come to me and he had said that, you know, he feels like there is something actually lurking inside the house because it's a rental property, we put it on rent, now there's no tenants inside it. So since then, what's happened is that we feel quite eerie in this property. And we want to give it on rent again, but before the last tenant, they had bad experiences too. They were actually saying that, you know, what, the wife was going into the cupboard upstairs in the loft and she was sleeping inside it. And I myself was very startled. So he was actually speaking the truth. What it came up to is that he was actually speaking the truth. So I said, so what we done is that we actually, for the time that the property was vacant, we put a loudspeaker in there and we just played Surah Baqarah for about one whole week or so. Alhamdulillah, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not my doing or anyone else's doing. This is the doing of Allah Ta'ala. That brother said that, you know, mashallah, we've put the property on rent, we have no problems now. Yeah? Ilm, knowledge. Simple as. We have knowledge, you know, knowledge is power. We say in English, we have knowledge, knowledge is power. Yeah? We, a doctor, we automatically go to them and, you know, we don't undermine a statement of this because we know they're qualified. We know they're going to give us the right directions because they are a expert in the field of medicine. So again, one person equips themselves with the right amount of knowledge, with the right amount of deen, where they can navigate themselves, they won't fall into jahala. They won't fall into ignorance. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the hadith that I mentioned, and I'm going to wrap up now on two points inshallah. He says that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمِ إِنْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And this is where I'm going to come on to how we can bring ilm into our lives and what steps we can start taking from now, inshallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take this knowledge just by snatching it away from people. You'll find, as soon as you type on Mufti Google, yeah, what is the ruling of injections, brackets, Hanafi fiqh, for example, someone types that in. Automatically, straight away, you'll be taken to IslamicQ&A.com. Or you'd be taken to askimam.com. And you'd find your verdict on there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember, what we need to affiliate ourselves to, whereas we can find any remote fatawa, or we can find any remote answer online. That's not difficult. What we need to do is affiliate ourselves correctly. Yeah. Allah ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah won't take this knowledge away just snatching it from the people. You still have access to your, you know, books. It won't be like one day you'll open Fathul Bari, written by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the explanation of Sahih Bukhari, and then all of the writing will disappear. No. وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Remember, a very golden advice I want to give. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the light of this hadith, he says, Allah will take away this knowledge by taking away learned people. Learned people. From amongst our community, learned people will slowly start to disappear. حَتَّى إِذَا لَمْ يَبْقَى عَالِمٌ. Until there isn't a learned person around, اتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا. People will make their leaders ignorant people. Yeah, what happens? You know, we see videos that come on our phone. Somebody is spinning a tasbih like this and going chuf, chuf. Yeah? And everyone is believing this person is a saint. Whereas the time of salah comes, no salah. You ask that same person that, can you recite some verses of the Quran? He'll refuse. No qari of the Quran. No study, no teachers, no academic. He's just spinning a tasbih. People are putting their hands on their head. And you think that, and these type of personalities will come to the UK, and people write from places like Pakistan, India, that What type of ignorant people live in the UK, a country which is not even considered a third world country or second world country, is considered a very advanced country? How can people, Muslims, people in Pakistan, India, where these so-called scholars come from, when they come to this country, they question and they say, how can it be the ignorance is so high that people are actually following and saying that, you know, the blow of this person, when I put my hand on my head or wherever there is pain, there's going to be a wholesale shifa that's going to happen. There's going to be a wholesale cure that's just going to happen, you know, and this person's blow is going to just make everything right. Yeah? Allahu Akbar. See, again, people will make their leaders ignorant people. اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا. People will be asked questions, verdicts, and you know what will happen? They'll give a verdict without any knowledge. Again, what I was speaking to Mufti Abdul Rahman Mangera, who is a close associate of mine, he was saying once in a talk, that in America he used to be an imam. And he said, over there they don't have imams. Value the imams that you have. By Allah, value Sheikh Aziz, for example. This is our person, this is our imam here. But we value whoever we have around. Yeah. Because he was saying that on the day of Friday, over there in America, they don't have imams. It's a big country. In every single state, some places they don't have imams. So what happens? The doctor of the community, he's a bit eloquent, he's well-spoken, you know, he'll end up giving a Jumu'ah talk on a day of Friday. We don't have to do that. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah, we don't have that here. Even as someone will come on the musalla, he says that, you know, someone will come on the musalla, and, you know, sometimes he won't even be in the, considering as an imam, we have a picture in our mind that he's going to come on with shalwar kameez, he's going to come on with a thawb. Over there, he said, there's no concept of this. Whereas he was saying, in this country, we'd consider a blasphemy that somebody come on the musalla in this manner. We'll think, who is he to stand up on the musalla like this? You know, we have people in apparent who seem that they have the right credentials, and also spiritually, they seem like, no, we want to put them forward on the musalla. Okay, so فَسُئِلُوا فَأَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. They will give verdicts without any knowledge. فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. They will become misguided. They will become misguided, and they will misguide many others as well. How can we, again, now, final part, and this isn't a long part, inshallah. How can we go about bringing ilm into our life, my dear brothers? Number one, please have a decent book with us, for instance, that we can, as a family, sit together at a right time and do ta'aleem from, and we can read together as a family, as family time. We don't read anymore. Yeah. We read as a family. We have Fadail al-Amal, we have, you know, Muntakhab al-Hadith, we have, you know, in many muhaddithin, they say that in the bab of fada'il, that, you know, even if the hadith is not da'if jiddan, yeah, you can still read it, you can still practice it. This, many of the muhaddithin, they agree upon this. You know, that's a whole different topic in itself in regards to mustalah al-hadith, and, you know, the science of istilah of hadith, and hasan li ghayrihi, sahih li dhatihi, khair. I don't want to go into all of that, but any book. We can get Riyadu Salihin as well, written by Imam Nawawi rahimullah, and go through the different ahadith and change these different books as we're going along. As a family, establish a ta'alimi silsila in our house, where as a family we are sitting together. It might be hard at the beginning. I was remembering one incident that there was a family wherein the mother was a singer, the daughter, she was a dancer. The mother was a singer, the daughter, she was a dancer. The husband, he had gone into the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He associated himself to jama'ah. And he went for 40 days, or he went for 4 months or so. Khair, again, this is, I'm speaking about experiences that I've come across. Yeah, it's not a matter of sectarianism, where I'm going to explain that right now this is this and this is that. Or rather, I would say that if a person can go into the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go into the path of Allah. Khair, 4 months, he went. And when he came back, he had no environment at home. What is he going to do? How is he going to start ta'aleem in the house? It's so challenging getting the family together. My wife's a singer, my daughter's a dancer. Completely different now. He wants to change his life. What the elders told him, and they gave him mashwara, they said, you start doing ta'aleem on your own. Sit on your own and just read every day. Just read ta'aleem, just do it. And by Allah, what happened slowly, the wife started becoming interested. She said, what are you reading? You know, we're all family at the end of the day, right? We bring pizza home. We're not going to take the pizza up inside the bedroom and eat it alone. Yeah, the way they want to be shared, we share our food. and our family are inquisitive, what have you brought home? The same way spiritually, Allah will make them inquisitive as well. So she becomes inquisitive. What is this? And then the husband says, this is a particular book that we're just reading, I'm reading, just to keep my knowledge up to tack. The wife says, okay, let's sit, leave me and you sit together. And they start, they have that ta'aleem going. Slowly, this is a real incident I'm narrating here. It's not something out of my pocket. Later, the daughter as well, she becomes joined in. And mashallah, Allah Ta'ala brings a change, Islamic change in the family. It's not impossible. Why do you think it's impossible? You know, at this time, you think it's impossible. It's not going to happen. No, start it. Secondly, the durus that we have in our masjid. Join into the durus and take part inside them. If there is dars al-Quran, dars al-Hadith in our masjid happening, please take part inside it. Wherever there's an opportunity that there is a course of fiqh going on, we have access to these courses, we have access to things that are going on, my dear brothers, let's join into it. Where there is, for example, you know, there are so many things that we can do. Yeah, adopt the company of the pious. Yeah, and don't rely solely on YouTube and social media that this is going to be your means of seeking knowledge and taking the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, knowledge is heart to heart. Sometimes the topics that we listen on YouTube, they're not even relevant to our community. There's a new revert community somewhere in Australia, and they're talking about how they're practicing the deen. No, your imam and your scholars of your locality, they will explain to you, and in the light of the challenges that are inside our society and the difficulties that are going, they will have an understanding of it, and they will try to guide you according to that, and they will be your first-hand guidance to them. So I ask everybody as well to take part inside the durus that happen inside the masjid, and likewise, any other place that any good places, authentic literature that we can obtain from our imam, etc., we go acquiring them, read them, and inshallah ta'ala, this will be somewhat sufficient and adequate for us to go about making an increase in our knowledge and increasing our scope of practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين. I thank everybody for staying, participating. This probably won't be returning this Ramadan now, but inshallah another time, if inshallah Mawlana will call me, which Mawlana does keep muhabbah and he keeps that love which brought me here today, and I really want to, from the depth of my heart, say Jazakallahu khair to all the brothers who had sat here and lent an ear. Jazakumullahu khairah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.